Looking at the numbers that we have here, because we require a quorum, you know, one of the major contentious issues these days, speaking for ANC, you know, is the quorum. Whenever you're going to go into any branch general meeting, and nothing moves without that quorum. It gets to be so seriously contested. At the end, your conference literally gets nullified because of that quorum. And even in our case here, the rules are very clear that without a quorum, to an extent, some of the other members of other committees that are literally brought here kicking and screaming, just come and be part of this, because we require quorum. So we do not have quorum for us to immediately, as we agreed, that we shall start with this report and then get down with it. We all did receive this report. I must confess, I've just received it now from where I'm seated. Did you, how long have you had it? Just received it now. Okay. I just received it now. I don't know whether Norma did receive it earlier. Did you? It was emailed as well last night. Which will then take us straight to NERPO. NERPO has been insisting in us getting to meet. And they have specific issues. I'm sure we did go through those issues ourselves, because this presentation has been with us for quite some time. I must confess and say, ideally, the kinds of issues you are raising, ideally it would have been a lot more easier and would have been a lot more at ease if we were to have had, you know, other departments here with us. For instance, if you were to talk about some of the input cost factors that drive your businesses as small farmers, these are the kinds of people that you would have had to bring them here. I can, you know, safely talk about your energy. I can safely talk about Eskom, so that directly they are here themselves. There are a number of other, you know, input cost-related matters that you are raising, which are quite critical. And again, the point here, members, is that whether you're small, whether you're black, whether you're big and large and white, you are equal. Whether you have inherited your farm from your forefathers who would have been white, you are equal. The business has been flourishing over years and decades. That today you are coming in today as a black farmer, small farmer, you are treated the same. These are the kinds of issues for me that really worry. I always say to the department, whenever they bring any of their reports or plans, whenever there is mentioning made about support programs, CASP in particular, to an extent you are not able to measure that support in terms of its success or failure, you are guilty as charged. Because that is your bottomless pit that you have created. That you are supposed to say, having been supporting from 900 million 2004, billion 600 this day and age, or 2 billion, the fund has been increasing. but it has not been related to any increase in terms of that small scalar that we shall have been supporting. There has not been any correlation. That's where the issue for me is. That's the point we always raise. In fact, we have said it clear this time around that when the department is going to be taking that fund out there, granted it goes direct from national fiscus to those provinces, but whether those provinces are able in their business plan to have measures in place, it must be a matter of concern. In fact, it shouldn't even be a concern. It must be implemented. Because you cannot go on as if it's business as usual, wherein these monies are being dispersed. Provinces have their own freedom to decide what to do, not to do with these kinds of funds. And the people who are expected to benefit out of these funds are not benefiting, because you are not able to see that growth from small to medium to long term to large, commercial farmers. That's the issue that we always raise, you know, with the department. I think it is high time that when we get those annual reports, we are able to see that being reflected upon, that there were these farmers that grew from being small. They are now at medium term in terms of growth in the next 2 years or so. Rest assured, committee members, you shall be seeing large commercial black farmers produced, 50 of them, 10 of them, those kinds of figures being given to us. That's what we are interested in. That's the kind of progress that we should really be talking about. I trust Babu Kaila, I speak on behalf of all of us on these issues. Ngozi. Ashi Sala. Okay. If there is no other thing else, members, in terms of any additional agenda item, we only have two items, as it were. If there is no other additional item, I take it that we shall get a mover for adoption of an agenda item. In other words, we have two. It is this NERPO program, and also it is the report itself. Any mover? Okay.
I move for the adoption of the agenda.
Of course.
Thank you, Chairperson. I second.
Thanks, members. We shall go ahead. We are a full complement of the committee. Okay. You are going to introduce yourself, NERPO, Dr. Smela. And how many are you? Oh, you're brave. Okay. The floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. I hope I'm allowed to speak from a sitting position. Thank you very much, and thank you to the members of the Portfolio Committee on Agriculture, Forest and Fisheries. We really and truly appreciate this opportunity to come and present you what really to us is a call for support. The Chairperson was asking me what we're all about, and it's really a call for support in the implementation of development programs for the development of the smallholder livestock farmers. But at the end of the day, it's probably beyond just the smallholder livestock farmers. And for the benefit of those that I'm sure many don't know who NERPO is the National Emerging Red Meat Producers Organization. We started off as an association in 1997, basically of livestock farmers.
But you're going to introduce your colleague as well.
Okay.
Or are you going to do it at the tail end?
I could start with it.
Then
let me get back to the introductions of who we are. My name is Langelihle Simela. I am the Chief Executive Officer of NERPO. I am with our Vice Chairperson, Mr. Bishop Mahlangu, Bishop Dingane Mahlangu, who comes from Mpumalanga province, and he's the vice chairperson of NEPO at national level. And while I'm at that, I must send our apologies for our group managing director, Mr. Agri Mahanjana. He was also meant to come with us, but he's not well, so he couldn't come along. So I think with the introductions of the persons here done, I'll then go ahead and talk about the association itself. As I said, it started off as an association of farmers, smallholder livestock farmers, in 1997. And then, but the association grew because of the business interests that had to be taken care of in supporting the smallholder farmers. So we had a company established, which is NEPO Financial Services, which currently provide credit facilities to your smallholder livestock farmers. And then we went into farming, the NEPO Farming Enterprise and Development Trust. And then we have a NEPO Investment Limited and a cooperatives wing. And all those companies form what we call the NEPO Group. But really what I'm going to talk about here is the Association of Farmers, the NEPO Association. Let me skip that. NEPO is a non-profit company, as I said, established in 1997 and registered in 1998. The vision of the association is to create successful farmers out of our predominantly disadvantaged members. And to do that, we say that we'd like to facilitate the empowerment of our members in order to improve their social and economic well-being and enable them to utilize market opportunities on a sustainable basis. And then we've got three major strategic objectives. One is that the association must have the capacity to do the work that it does, and especially the lobbying for strong government legislation would promote and support the emerging red meat producers, cattle breeders, and feeders. And then we must be able to facilitate the commercialization of the emerging sector by facilitating access to technical support, credit facilities, and markets, and enable economic empowerment of our members, youth and women, by facilitating linkage to business opportunities within the supply chain. Our programs are basically threefold. One is the member organization itself. We must maintain the structure of the organization and have the members in the organization, and also the statutory activities of the organizations, which I'll talk to shortly. And then secondly is the lobbying and advocacy for government support, for any other support programs from other institutions, and even from support within the region, and also coordinating of our livestock activities within the region, and also liaison within the industry, the red meat industry and agriculture at large. And then the third program is the farmer support and development, really, which is now talking to the farmers themselves. And there our biggest program is the training and mentorship, where we try and facilitate that farmers receive training as livestock farmers, because remember our members want to be commercial livestock farmers, and they're mentored to become commercial farmers. What we basically do with the training and mentorship, we are AgriCita accredited. So we have a three-pronged approach where we start off with basic record keeping, and then what we call a business plan, which basically says if you've got 400 hectares of land, how many animals can you carry there? What does it take for you to reach that capacity? The biggest risk to livestock is health, aside stock theft. So we make sure that the farmer has a proper head health management plan. And then we say on a monthly basis, keep your cash flows that indicate that you are doing all these things. So that's the training and mentorship program that we approach, that we use. Coming to the member organization itself, the structures normally start at district level. So the farmers come together at district level to form a structure of NEPO. And then the leaders there go meet together, converge at provincial level to form the provincial structure. And then the chairpersons of the provinces come together to form the National Executive Council at national level. And we have an annual general meeting of members. So us as the office really play a supportive role in all those structures to help them in the work that we're doing. And this work that we're doing, as I said, predominantly lobbying and advocacy. Normally the members would raise the issues at local level in terms of resolutions. What they can resolve at district level, they resolve. What cannot be is passed on to the province. Similarly, province deal with things that pertain to that specific province. What is of national application is then passed on as a national resolution. And that's what the National Executive Council then runs with, and tries to resolve those problems with the support of the office. Unfortunately, as NEPO, we just don't stand alone. We're part of the Red Meat Industry Forum, which forms all the role players in the red meat industry, consisting of producers, your feedlotters, auctioneers, meat traders, abattoirs, all the way to consumers and workers in the industry. And we are also part of the rest of organized agriculture. We are a member of AFASA, which is also, that's the African Farmers Association of South Africa, which is also now a member of ASUF, the Agriculture Sector Unity Forum. So really agriculture, organized agriculture in South Africa is trying to come together. So all these issues that were raised, if they cannot be dealt with within the association itself, they can be dealt with other structures of organized agriculture. Now this thing is slower down. What we try to do in terms of farmer support and development, we've been setting ourselves a target that we'll try and work with about 1,000 farmers or at least 100 rural livestock cooperatives over a period of 3 to 5 years. When we begin working with these farmers, we'll normally do some resource audit to say what is it that they have and what is the potential that they have. So we have some sort of mini business plan. And then out of that, we say what is the support that they need to achieve the targets that they've set themselves. Some of it we can provide ourselves as NEPO, such as your training, mentorship, the credit facilities, the financing through the credit facilities, assisting farmers to acquire breeding stock and facilitating access to markets. Some of us, it is beyond ourselves, such as the land, infrastructure, and even more finance, because our financial schemes are very limited. Sorry, this thing is a bit slow. So the issues that we'd like to present to you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, are as follows. One is the effective and efficient utilization of communal land. The vast majority of the members that we work with, or the smallholder farmers, are on communal land, and it's estimated that it's 80% of them. And there, the poor management systems on communal land greatly impede production and productivity. So any interventions that we do, anybody does with those small farmers, almost come to nil because of the poor management of these lands. For instance, when you offer loans, when you offer training, and you try and review this, whatever assistance you've provided, the farmers will say, yes, it's useful. Now I'm knowledgeable from the training, or now I have the money, but it's difficult for me to invest on a land that I don't have proper management rights to. So we feel that we need to have effective management of communal lands in order to enable that they be efficiently utilized by the smallholder farmers. So our call today is that we are requesting that the Portfolio Committee on Agriculture, Forest and Fisheries facilitates a discussion with all key holders on communal land management, out of which will come out recommendations for effective and efficient utilization of the communal land. And this could be then submitted to the relevant authorities, such as the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, your traditional authorities. But we need to really come up with an efficient system of managing these lands so that we can use them as productively as possible. The second issue that we're presenting today is the cost of production. The cost of agricultural production is increasing and smallholder farmers are badly affected. The major cost issues are your fuel, electricity, and wages. And we're really requesting for assistance for smallholder farmers to enable them to cope and remain in business. And why we're asking for this, they're small scale, and if the cost factor forms a large part of the production inputs, it becomes really difficult for the smallholder farmers to remain viable. So we need to somehow come up with mechanisms that will enable them to remain viable until they can grow and produce on a sustainable basis. The possible interventions that we're suggesting are subsidies on fuel and electricity, subsidies on use of alternative energy sources, and subsidies on insurance. And then the third issue that we're presenting here today is extension and farmer training. Most smallholder farmers have very limited entrepreneurial skills for viable agricultural production. Most of the members that we deal with today are either retired from various service sectors into agricultural production. The vast majority of them have never really had the experience of commercial production, livestock production. They've grown up on farms, some of them have managed livestock, but never as a commercial entity. So you find that the entrepreneurial skills are lacking. But the smallholder farmers rely heavily on government extension services as a source of information and a source of technical support to enable them to produce more efficiently. So as NEPO say that we appreciate the draft policy on extension and advisory services, which allows for multiple role players in the provision of extension services, with government providing the norms and standards and oversight, and uses extension personnel as knowledge brokers rather than as subject matter specialists. In other words, they facilitate linkage to various sources of knowledge. So we recommend that this policy be implemented. And then we call for the implementation of vocational training institutions and programs for farmers and technocrats in agriculture, which will allow them to acquire hands-on experiential training. If you'll allow me to give an example, we had recently a visit from the German farmers, and they shared with us their model of training. It really takes a number of years, 10 to 13 years of experiential training on farm, hands-on practice, before people could really venture out into farming themselves. And we feel that we could adopt a similar model using our existing institutions like our FET colleges and so on. And then the other issues, I said industry matters. As I said, we are part of the Red Meat Industry Forum. And as members of the forum, we've presented a number of issues to this committee, such as independent meat inspections, comments on the pounds bill, comments on the marketing agencies bill, comments on the feeds and fertilizer bill. And we as NEPA work together in the industry to support the submissions that have been made here. And we also note that there's been considerable progress with the Department of Agriculture, Forests and Fisheries in dealing with some of these matters. So, Mr. Chairperson, with that, I'd like to end my presentation here and thank you and the honorable members for your attention.
You want to add anything from the department? Comment?
Thank you, Chair.
You can switch off the department.
Mortimer Manye is my name, from the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fishery. Yes, Chair, I want to just make a few comments. Indeed, some of the issues that are raised, particularly the cost of inputs, those are genuine challenges the sector is facing, and the farmers particularly. The department is completely aware and appreciates this situation, and this matters. The department is taking it up within the government-wide structures to start to address. We have actually started working on looking at the aspects of the insurance, for instance. And indeed, it's not only even energy alone. Those that are using water also have the same challenges. We are looking at those aspects. Perhaps I should just make some comments on the extension policy. We are at a stage where we are looking finally at the inputs that have been received from the consultations that have been made, and we're working in the direction of making sure that by possibly towards the end of the year this policy would have been finalized. The other issues, as Dr. Simula has already indicated, that they were raised by the industry last year. We have indeed been working with them on them. We have been giving them feedback in those areas where we have made adequate progress, and we continue to address the remaining outstanding issues. But indeed, one should appreciate that within the development of the smallholder farmers, I think NERPO is playing a very crucial role, particularly dealing directly with their members on the ground, and I believe that the work that they're doing should be supported. Thank you, Chair.
One wishes that at some point in time we can have a situation where the department can be presenting a situation where work is done, not plans anymore. Not policies anymore. Granted, yes, there is a great amount of work done, but on some critical areas that we are dealing with here now, one would have wished that you know, there is work done on the ground. You have that challenge. But yeah. Baba Kela, Nkosi Qebo.
I arrived here today, on this day of the 23rd. You know, Chairperson, not about NERCO, the department. There are a lot of different schemes that we are told that are helping the communal farmers and all that, but on the ground there, I agree to what you are saying. It's the same what's happening on the ground. There are a lot, and there's millions and millions that into these different schemes. Millions. Now, I want to ask a question from NERCO. You say you're assisting communal farmers. Can you just explain us, according to yourself, what is a communal farmer and what type of livestock do they have? And what assistance do you think you can give those people so that they can have better cattle, so that they can get good prices for their cattle? If you had the money, then to the department, chairperson, which is the problem. Let us be fair, our department is a total mess up. In fact, we don't have a department. That's the bottom line. Let us be true, we're finishing now 5 years. There are a lot of different schemes. The Marketing Council has got a scheme, and so to help those poor. But if you go down there, you know yourself, Chairperson, go to those people there. There is nothing, totally nothing, Chairperson. In fact, I had this parliament going to an area where they saw there is nothing, where people don't even know about the department, where I had to hook my money to assist the people. And the time must come that we tell this department here that they must get their house in order. Then NERCO, I see you got in KwaZulu-Natal, you got two districts. KwaZulu-Natal, why is there any problem? Why do we have two districts in KwaZulu-Natal? I say you've got six in Eastern Cape. Then do you only assist your members, or do you assist those who are not your members? And how do they become your members? And how will they know about NERCO? If you can just help us here, then I'll be able to have a follow-up chairperson. Thank you.
Inkosi.
Thank you, Chairperson. Firstly, I would like to thank Dr. Simela from NERCO for the presentation. And just agree with what my colleague here, Honorable Gayla, has been just saying with regards to the Department of Agriculture. Chairperson, if NERCO has presented, certainly they are talking mostly about people who own livestock in rural areas under tribal leadership. It's not that they have farms where, or they have farmers, proper farmers who are commercial, who that they are working with. Chairperson, this boils down to the fact that several times we followed in a committee to the department with what assistance that they give to those communal livestock owners in rural areas, as far as proper dipping facilities, sending the vets to assist treating the animals or the cattle in those areas, and advising people of sort of dividing land for grazing camps so that they could maybe come up or produce what is actually required in commercial sense. Chairperson, my question actually would go to NERPO, as has been presenting, the number of members that they have. How many are they in those rural areas? Are they just talking about all cattle owners in rural areas? That's the main concern. The type of breed that they have or that they've identified as part of what they aim at as an organization representing those structures. Then, Chairperson, if I may further go down, according to the presentation, they are identifying traditional areas where these communal livestock owners are. Have they ever engaged the leadership there, just to have an idea of what they have as NERPO towards what those leaders have? I understand, Chairperson, if I may point out, I'm so sorry to point out KwaZulu-Natal, because I'm coming from KwaZulu-Natal. In KwaZulu-Natal, we've been having these livestock auctions taking place in our areas. That is where I would say they would have found maybe the people who have an understanding of what cattle should look like in order for them to take it to the auction. Those are the areas, Chairperson, which I would say they would have first gone to before jumping onto the department to say they need department's assistance as far as taking them to the traditional leadership areas or the communal land, communal livestock owners. Chairperson, I'm not saying it just because I'm trying to defend the structure, but the fact that, Chairperson, there is an attempt on the pipeline from the Department of Rural Development Land Reform with regards to seeing to it how the communal land is administered. Hopefully, this is where maybe after the proper process has been followed, we would find the different portions of land being managed properly, like the plowing fields, like grazing, like sports field, or any other type of allocation that will come up from the arrangement. But, Chairperson, I'll still like to stress much on the fact that as we do have in some provinces, maybe, as in KwaZulu-Natal, where you have livestock owners taking their livestock to auctions, because this is where maybe those people have an understanding of what importance does an animal have with regards to generating income for them, rather than what Chairperson and the committee saw when they were down to the border, where you could find people hanging meat along the road and selling the meat, you know, as cases has been in our province. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay. I guess the other question here, you had your hand up, Mr. Paul. Okay.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I want to thank the doctor for her presentation. If one goes through this presentation, then it tells you one thing, and that is that there are issues because very little has been done by those that are supposed to help resolve those issues. Otherwise, NERPO would not have been here today. If everybody had done their duty, it would not have been here today. Spend all the money to come all the way to Cape Town. I say this, Chair,
because first and foremost, it is the society depends on the state. And if there is no society, there are no state institutions. It is the duty of the state to dispense certain services. And if that does not happen, the people on the ground, organizations on the ground, have every right to approach their public representatives, in this case the portfolio committee, for some or other form of redress. But then, Chairperson, my problem is, where will the redress come? I have known issues here that have been taken up years ago with no end to them. The people on the ground are still crying, and those tears will fall on us, all of us here, including the department. Chairperson, my questions are, I want to credit NERPO with the fact that many years ago their vision brought about a situation where they organized people that were interested in the production of red meat into this organization. And let me say up front, Chair, I have no personal pecuniary interest any longer in agriculture. No pecuniary interest, I'm out of it. So what I say here, I say out of my experience, and you know, we normally say that that experience cost me a lot of school fees. And all I would like to do is share those experience with fellow South Africans so that they do not fall victim to wasteful expenditure. Chairperson, I would like to know from NERPO that, I've said it already, the fact that they are here means that they did not get assistance, or adequate assistance, or insubstantial assistance. That is why they are here. So my questions are directed at trying to determine. You've spoken here about extension services. All I can tell you that in the many years that I farmed, I don't know what an extension officer looks like. I didn't see one on my farm at all. I would like to know from you that you are saying here that you need assistance to smallholder farmers. That's regarding to remain in business. But generally, you need assistance from extension officers. You're saying here that they are about the only source of information that is readily available to smallholder farmers. Now, is this really happening? Because if it is, then I'm inclined to say hallelujah. Chairperson, the other problem here is, you see, when you sit in beautiful offices in the city, all you know about a piece of meat is that it comes from either the supermarket or the butchers, and hot as lekker, you enjoy it. You don't know what went into producing that piece of meat. A lot goes into it. Heartaches included. Hard work included. Manabola's department having to help in the livestock improvement. Everything went into it. At the end of the day, Chair, some of the cost factors that are not taken into account in policy making, in making decisions. You have mentioned only a few here. Fuel, electricity, wages, and I think another one was added on by the chairperson, if I remember correctly. The chairperson said that he wishes that a time can come when the department can proudly, with their chest sticking out, say, this is what we have done. I endorse that.
Unfortunately, all I get, Chair, and I'm sitting here for the last 12 years in this portfolio committee, and I have never seen tangible action taking place. We need tangible action. As a representative here from the ministry, we need to see that those that are actors, if they're good enough to act in a movie, the Department of Agriculture, then they should also be good enough to become permanent employees. Why don't we give them that kind of security so that the sort of thing the chairperson has said can start happening? Chairperson, take it from this gray-haired, ignorant man. It is not going to happen unless we want to deal with the root cause and not the symptoms. If the real problem is not resolved, Chair, you can get as many delegations here, listen to them, cry with them, laugh at them, they will go back disappointed. So, Chairperson, as far as costs are concerned, the farmer in South Africa, it's not just a commercial farmer. You see, we have a fallacy. But many people want us to believe that it's only commercial farmers that we are talking about here. That Tata that's got 5 or 6 cattle that lives in a rural area, he's also a farmer on his own right. He also sells one animal to pay his children's school fees. Now, I have respect for him. That's how people like Dr. and Daniel became what they are today, because of the sacrifices made by those old people. The farmer in South Africa is subject to almost a dozen different forms of levies and taxes. A dozen. I haven't got the time to unpack it, but there's approximately a dozen of them. The farmer chairperson, in addition to that, is the only economic activity that must provide housing for his employees. That must see that those employees are taken care of as far as medical problems are concerned. That employee also gets rations. So the burden on the farmer in order to produce that piece of steak is a massive one. And I feel, Chairperson, that what is necessary is that I'm glad the doctor has raised a few issues, you know, like water has been added on and that sort of thing. But, Chairperson, it is necessary that we look very, very seriously at what the farmers are going through. Otherwise, Chair, farming will not become a vocation that many people would want to go into. And I'm warning this House, we may end up depending on imports to feed our nation, because we are making farming extremely difficult for our people, not only this department, but the other forces in the state, energy, all sorts of things. Chairperson, the other issue that I would like to take up with Doctor is, if your animals are not healthy, you are going to cause numerous problems. I would like to know from you whether NERPO members, and generally, you know, even the small farmers that may not be NERPO members or not organized, have access to adequate veterinary services. Because I was told the other day that when somebody phoned a veterinary service in a particular province, they were told, we don't have a vehicle to come out to you. They were told, we don't have the, Mr. Momobolo, help me, man. Those things that you draw out blood, then you put it into those tubes and stuff. We don't have that equipment. Now, Chairperson, you are sacrificing not only the health of our animals, but also of the nation. We don't know. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. I so wish, Mama, we could have treated this session as more of a workshop. issues are very straightforward and they are pointed. Issues for discussion too. The committee is requested to facilitate a discussion with all key stakeholders on communal land management, on which key recommendations for effective and efficient use of communal land could be developed and submitted to the relevant authorities. It's a straightforward matter. To an extent, this should be a matter for rural development and land reform. And we are expected here as the department to be cousins with rural development and land reform. So that when we have a discussion of this nature, it is a joint session. It's a straightforward matter, as I say, that requires a joint session with rural development and land reform, number one. Number two, issues of discussion three, cost of production. Call for assistance to smallholder farmers to enable them to cope and remain in business. There are those input cost factors there. To an extent, you have here with us an energy department. You have here with us public enterprise department. You have here with us labor department. You have with us here also directly, not through public enterprise, ESCOM. So that we have one discussion once. I did ask fellows within ESCOM. I was talking to the chairman of ESCOM the other day. How come you do not give assistance to a small, especially black farmers? They are starting at zero. By and large, your white commercial farmers, they are starting at 70. And here you have a 100-meter distance to run. The one starts from zero, the other one starts at 70 meters. And clearly here, that who is at 70 meters is going to come first. And that who is at zero is going to struggle even to get at 50. By the time that one gets at 100, you have not as yet even arrived at 50. Whether you cannot, in your last part that talks about subsidies, be able to say what regime can you introduce? Call it smart subsidy or otherwise. These are clear cut issues that require a sit-down discussion with your ESCOM, with your energy, with your public enterprise. Is it doable? The ESCOM fellow was saying they do have measures in place, wherein Agri-SA does make contact with them. To an extent, there are those special regimes being accorded to some members of Agri-SA or to Agri-SA, I don't know how it works. Whether NERPO, whether AFASA, or whether the United Agriculture Sector is able to make those overtures. So for me, that's the kind of discussion. Otherwise, we can discuss here forever and get nowhere. What I'm interested in are solutions. Most smallholder farmers have limited entrepreneurial skills for viable agricultural production. AgriCita. You have a training unit as well within the department, am I right? You do have. And what stops us from doing these things? For me, these are simple, straightforward issues that we are dealing with. I simply require coordination and implementation, not the kind of discussion that we're having here now. And then, of course, you have your other concerns on the last page about, you know, independent meat inspections and so on and so forth. But for me, these are the kinds of issues, you know, that you should be able to say possible interventions, cost of production, subsidies on here, subsidies there, and those kind of things. The minister the other day did talk about insurance on agriculture. And this talks by and large to management of risk within the sector in agriculture, so to speak. Once again, that who shall have been there for longer than ever, who happens to be white commercial farmer, whenever risk comes, there could have been some disaster. That person is able, the day after, 2 days or a week later, to get back on business. But that small farmer who happens to be black, the business is gone. Because the person does not have enough resources to get back into business. There's a loan that still has to be paid, and all what it takes to say at the end, you are getting that person back into business. For me, that would be my approach, so that we are not going in rounds on the issues. Rather, we use this opportunity to say to ourselves, how best can we implement these? For they are as clear, gesintu above Kayla? Jangan, okay. Now, those are the kinds of issues, as clear, crystal clear as anything that you can think of. You want to respond, Mama?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. My response is I totally agree with you, that is what we're all about. Because I feel that most of the weaknesses that we have in the sector, it's a coordination issue. If you look at the training, there are many role players, some funded by AgriCeta, some funded by whatever sources of funds. But there's really little coordination in the activities that we do, so much so that it doesn't make an impact, and we still remain with a large pool of people that don't have the skills that they require to actually go into the business. CASP was mentioned, and I'll look at the infrastructure side. Ideally, when you support a farmer, ideally we should give them the skill, then give them the money so that they're able to spend it because they're now knowledgeable, and hopefully spend it on the infrastructure and spend it on all those things. But you might find that somebody will receive handling facilities there and after a while receive something else there and something else. So it's all so uncoordinated that we don't actually make an impact on the ground. And that's just on the surface of that. And to come back on the issues that were raised, if I may address them, the one question was, what assistance do we feel that smallholder farmers need? These issues that we raised, by the way, came out of the resolutions. If you remember, I showed you how the resolutions are generated. And fortunately, we did have the Honorable Chairperson at our AGM last year, and we heard some of these resolutions. And these are the things that the farmers were raising, especially, starting off now with this communal land. Whenever you talk to smallholder farmers on communal land, they will tell you that in the past, we had the grazing camps, we had the rangers, we had whatever. Systems were there and systems were working so we could manage our land. But today we don't have those systems in place. So no matter what you try to do as a farmer on communal land, it doesn't work for you. And no, NEPA membership is not just farmers on communal land. We have some unleased land, leasing from the state, new land beneficiaries, and some that have actually purchased land for themselves. So those are the ones that will come up with issues like your fuel and your electricity. Some of them don't even have these things on their farms, electricity and telephones. That's why we call them weekend farmers. But weekend farmers, because they don't have the facilities that enable them to live on the farm, never mind actually do the business on its own. What else did I have here? Coordination I've mentioned. The source of information being extension. The farmers say that is the available contact person that should provide them with information. Unfortunately, currently, and I think we all agree, our extension officers are not fully capable of providing the kind of information that will enable the farmers to become commercial farmers. With the livestock farmers, and Dr. Maslang will vouch for me, they would normally say that all the extension officers would rather go to the people with cabbage patches because we as livestock farmers know a lot better than they do about the livestock sector. And hence we're saying that we support the new policy because I hope that it will change the current environment if it's also linked in with the vocational training. So yes, the extension officers are there, they're in touch with the farmers, but they don't have adequate knowledge to assist the farmers to actually farm on a commercial basis, and which is not their doing from what I see. It's from the way we are trained in the universities. We're not trained to be business people. We are trained to be, a scientist. And to understand the livestock sector itself, it was through working with NEPO and working with farmers to understand how the industry operates. So unless you have got that exposure, you will not be able to fully understand the industry. Which takes me back now to the health issue. I think the biggest weakness, again, amongst smallholder farmers with health and comparing them to commercial farmers is the knowledge. I mean, any slight problem that a normal commercial farmer would handle on his own, the poor smallholder farmer would be disarmed because he really doesn't know what to do. They will tell you that we do buy medication and dose, but we're not sure whether we're doing the right thing, which again comes back to the extension, to the access to the right type of knowledge to enable them to farm. So today, having worked with the smallholder farmers for the past 8-9 years, I really feel that we need to do something about the skills gap in that sector. Because no matter what else we pump into the sector, if we don't have knowledgeable farmers in there, we're not going to make a difference. And one of the reasons why we really dwelt on the communal land, and it's been alluded to, if you've listened to the FAO reports of late, they say that by 2050, really, any productive land in this world would be here in Africa. The rest of the world would have used up their productive land. And if you see, the rest of the world is already turning to us. I've never heard of Arabs being interested in agriculture in Africa, but there's a growing reports of that happening. The Chinese are on our borders all the time wanting to access this land. So if we don't improve our own skills, my greatest fear is that come 2050, we'll watch people producing on our land and shipping all the food outside of this continent, and we'll be watching and going hungry. So I feel we have the time now, we have the resources to spend in developing the smallholder farmers. And what we need to do is to implement a coordination system that will enable us to make faster progress than we've made. Thanks. I think Dr. Mahlangu also had some comments.
Thank you.
Honorable Chair, thank you very much. A lot has already been said, but a lot has abided. Chair, in fact, we are approaching this whole thing on two fronts. Talk on policies. What we expect from you is the policies per se. Policies, we've got very good policies, but not implemented. And on the other side, I've heard Mr. Gayle and Mr. Kosi complain or asking questions and concern about improving the rural development farmers, the communal farmers. And on that side, we are doing a lot. We are doing great. We are not only complaining, but we are working hard. And we've involved AMACOS. We've started in the Eastern Cape, AMACOS in Mpumalanga, because they are also stakeholders. The problem is to come to the breed we need. The problem is castration in the communal land. People don't want to castrate. They are cattle. You find a bull small like this, and NERPO supplies a huge animal. You bought it for 9,000, and you find that a bull with small horns and with you know tears coming down the face is hanging on your cow. What are you going to say? If you've got a gun, you shoot it because nothing is going to come out of it. It's just hanging. In fact, it doesn't even get what it wants to get. You know. But now we are discussing that, Mr. Chair, with AMACOS to say, how can we, that is not your problem, but we are discussing with AMACOS to say, how can we sort that problem out? And we've got a lot of semi-commercial farmers, like myself. I'm breeding Bonsmara cattle since 1965. I'm breeding Bonsmara cattle. Now, we want to make him proud, Mr. Chair. To say one day, let's get into the bus, let's visit NERPO. Nelson has showed us their farmers, the Bonsmara breeder, Occidentaler, Afrikaner, the Brahman, the Sumbra, the Angers, you know, all those breeds. But it's where NERPO is getting to. We want that huge animals to be produced by blacks. But now the problem is, okay, number one is land, but number two is cooperation. We don't get cooperation from Amakhosi because this is new from them. Now, I haven't dealt much, Chair, with the National Department of Fisheries and the staff. I haven't dealt much with them. But their problem, I don't want to bail them out, but the problem is with the provincial agricultural departments. Those people are doing absolutely nothing. Nothing. And I don't think there's anything you can do. Because within 5 years, you find that the premier has changed about five times or six times. Whoever comes into the position doesn't know what to do, where to start. If you ask him, but how many organized farmers around here? He says, no, I don't even know one. You know, I'm not going to mention names, but one was recently in France, only to find that the meat consumed in France is from South Africa. And he wonders where in South Africa. Then he comes back and says, no, it's because you people are not hands-on. The other problem we've got, Chair, Honorable Chair, is that when money comes from Department of Agriculture, when it comes to NERPO, it's a sort of a loan. We must loan these people. They must feed the fund. It's a loan. But when it goes to the department, to the provincial department, it's mahala. It's a grant. Now, that money comes from DAF as an assistant to CASP. But there's no infrastructure done by the provincial Department of Agriculture. Deeping tanks, you don't find them there, but the money is given to them, and a grant for that matter. Now let me come to this one. NERPO is doing a lot. The reason why we established NERPO, we've realized that some do it without any help. And the help we need from the portfolio committee is not sort of money. We need support. We need your support. We need the implementation of policies. The rest will do them ourselves. Well, coming to VET, again, it is not the department per se that makes the VET not to attend to the farmers. It is themselves, or maybe the boss who's supposed to tell them to do the job. They are not. It's individuals who are lacking this thing, and the blame must be carried by the department, but it is not the department per se. Now, I would advise the department to work hand in glove with organizations like NERPO so that they mustn't hear some of these problems when we come here. They must know the problems just offhand and say, these are the problems, and address them. And as soon as we complete our rounds with Amakhosi, yes, we will come back again because we need all the stakeholders. It's not a one-man show in this case. I thank you, Honorable Chair.
Another wish I have, Mama. Welcome, Mr. Van Dalen. You come as we conclude our meeting. We are about in the next hour, minute, or so. Another wish that I have, Mr. Gaylor, to an extent, you want to see things happening. You might even wish to say, let's isolate one province, maybe just for a month or two, and just focus on that province. Whether we say Western Cape, I'm sure you'd love to see that happen. Where there is a serious blitz out in Western Cape. Where we go out there and pulling all sorts of stops and saying, we're going to make agriculture, fisheries, and forestry work in the Western Cape. I'm just
applying a rule of thumb. Because I believe more in action than in words. Otherwise, we can talk and talk forever. To an extent, you might wish to say, okay, it's fine. You have these challenges. Let us focus in one area, in one district, and move to another district in that one particular province. And begin to say, can it work? Is it working? Shall it work? And we have a combination of all these support entities of government. If you're going to talk about the veterinarians, here you have an OBP. And the question that comes is, I hear you, Tata, you are saying, Bishop, you know, you've been on your own. No extension service, no inoculation, you know, yet you have these entities of government in place. You have a National Cash Marketing Council program on fattening. Whether you are working together with those initiatives and ARC there in Limpopo, Mama. You have those programs in place. And they're working so wonderfully. But again, you know, it is here, it is there. We're not making the necessary impact. Well, okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. Bishop, and this is what I want, I'm trying to help you. That's what I'm trying to do. We are members of Parliament, here, Bishop. We come from different areas. And if you have a problem, we can assist you as well. We know what's happening on the ground here. We are members of Parliament, coming from different areas. Some are from towns, some are well established, some are from poor backgrounds. We can assist you if you have a problem with the cheese. I meet with them every month. Don't have a problem with that in the Eastern Cape. I know most of them, so we don't have a problem there. But I agree with what the chairperson is. We need to coordinate these departments and entities and come up with one solution to assist. Because you see this one working in silo, that one working in silo. I think, chairperson, you also need to add water fees there. In that coordination. Then, Chairperson, the needs of the communal farmers are simple and straightforward. We got them here. Very simple and straightforward. But we would not expect you to go work with each and every individual. I got one, 10, that one, I got 6, that one, I got 10, you know. What would be good is co-ops. Maybe in a ward you have a co-op and you deal with that ward. That would be good. But the department as well, you are so right, Bishop. The provinces give these monies as grants. It's quite true. That is what happens. And now it depends who the provinces give. They might not give Gayla because they don't like Gayla or Gayla's another part. That's the truth. Let's not run away from that, you see. That is what happens in most of the provinces, you see. So we said here, yeah, even in our report, you know, if you remember that, we need proper coordination of this CASP. We need to know what is happening with this CASP, but I'm not getting there. What is the communal farmers need? It's fencing of their grazing areas. It's very important that is fencing. They need dipping facilities. I know in Mkanduli, they build their own dip out of their own money, collecting money. And then extension officers. On paper, we have extension officers. When the department presents, we have. But down there, as equal data, they don't exist. They simply do not exist. But on paper, the government is paying people that we don't know what are they doing. That's the truth of the matter. We need balls. They need balls. It's very important that they must have balls. Then the introduction of bulls, or whether it's bull calf, whatever you can call it, to change the type of animals they got. There were a lot of those promises, Chairperson. A lot, yeah, we're going to bring bulls, but we don't see when you go down there. It's either so-and-so or unfortunately, that's the truth of the matter, Chairperson. We've got to be factual in these things there, you know, because we're sitting with these people down there. They ask us, you are in Parliament, what you'll do for us, you see, that is the truth of the matter. Training is very important. Vaccination is important. And of course, the vets that you were talking. And then soft loans. If it's not a system, soft loan. Chairperson. That was part of my chairperson. If you say you want to improve the people, it's what you are saying is 70 kilometers, the other is 10 kilometers. It's quite true. You know, I'm sitting in the Committee of Public Works. A government entity is loaning those people prime plus 5%. But when an established sector goes to the bank, it's prime minus 1%. Now, do you understand what I'm saying? You'd never catch the established one. So those are things that need to be sorted out, you know, because in 20 years' time, we'll still be complaining. And then, you're so right, Bishop, the trading sector is gone in the villages, taken by foreigners. Each and every shop is gone, finished. This one is also going. This one is also going. Agriculture is going with our eyes open. And you know what? Where's that going to lead to? You see, people in Chairperson, I'd like to invite you to take you to my area where you're going to see people that don't even speak because, you know, you ask yourself, what is happening in this country? Why is every tax shop taking over? Why is every shop taking over? What is happening to our poor people that we live with, that die daily because of poverty and starvation? Bishop, handling facilities. I'm not saying you don't have the funds to do that. It is the department with those actors that are there. As long as you have actors in that department, as long as officials don't know this is what we need to do for the country, that's the bottom line. That's where the problem really is. As we said, who are they training? We need them to train the people down there. Those mamas, your fathers and your grandfathers that are there, that have educated you, that you've forgotten about, they are down there. So we need to coordinate these, entities. We need to coordinate these departments so that Chairperson, we come with one program, and then, what if we target one province, Chairperson? This is our country. I am a taxpayer in this country. That poor mama that's got nothing is a taxpayer. They got to fill their government. This department here is letting us down. That's where the problem is, Bishop. Yes, you soft pedal. I'm not here to solve. The problem lies with the department. That's what it is. The buck stops there. So this department here, it's really disappointing us. There is nothing happening when you go down there. Abantu balambe sisitengazimbandi, Bishop. 1994, those people were working in mines buying cattle. They are so right. I know it used to happen when I used to go home. I used to just buy sugar and flour. It's quite true, Chairperson. Let's not tell lies. Why do we have to tell lies? That's the truth of the matter. This department is not visible by those people. It's not, that's where the problem lies with this department here. The buck stops with this department here. I know we're going to talk that. It's wasting our breath even talking. In fact, I might just keep quiet when I might not even speak because these things we're talking over and over about them. So that is where the problem. We need to coordinate and assist those people down there. And I am prepared to take and show you what I am saying to you today. Take my phone number. I'll take you so that you see what happens down there by those people. They don't know extensive, Doctor. Thank you.
Members, I'm very convinced that this day be counted as one of those that we sat, we listened, we discussed, and we resolved that out of here, we're going to the ground. Even if it means having to, after debate, going out there on the ground, holding each other and being able to say, what are the three things that we're going to be doing, and do those three things. And what are those three things? Because I believe that if we are going to put so many things at the same time, you really never get to be able to say this is what you finally shall have achieved. But if you have to say one or two or three at the most, we shall have been able to get somewhere. So that's how generally I would approach, you know, life and my work. Three things. One, two, three. We're done. We move to another district. We move to another province. Yes, we are not the implementers. The implementers are your government departments. You are part of stakeholder. If you like, you are part of the public. You are coming to your public representatives to say we have these cries. You're coming to these members of parliament who are your representatives. You are part of our constituency. You have every right, therefore, to knock on the door of our parliament, of your parliament, in the form of the committee that deals directly with the issues at hand. So when we listen, therefore, it also must not just end up having been a talk show. It must be counted as one of those days that you came on the 23rd of May, and the year was 2013. And this came out of that session. And we can then, after 10 years, be saying, we made it on that day. That's where I come coming from, Mr. Abram.
I have something to add on to where you're coming.
You can do that, Mr. Abram, in less than a minute. I'm trying to get us somewhere, members. That's all that I'm trying to do.
I want to get us somewhere. I'm also caring. That is why I get hot under the collar where the departments don't do what they are supposed to be doing. And unfortunately, Chair, let me warn this meeting. If you are not going to address the root cause of why these things have not happened, you can go and tour the whole country, Chair. You'll be raising expectations. When you come back from there, nothing would happen. That is why, Chair, what you need to start this whole process, I'm not against what we want to do, you are proposing, I'm just trying to caution you, Chair. In 12 years, I have been on portfolio committee oversight visits. Promises were made to people, we are going to get back to you. All sorts of expectations were raised. Chairperson, it did not happen. Now, I'm actually knocking at heaven's door already. I don't want to leave here, having created an impression that something great is going to happen. Because, Chair, if you don't address the capacity in the department, I'm warning this meeting, very soon you are going to see a crisis that is busy developing, where the provinces are unable to deliver veterinary services to ordinary small people. Baba spoke now of the quality of animals that some of our people have. Unfortunately, some of our people think that if I have numbers, I'm okay. But what we need to do, what he correctly says, there's a man here from the Livestock Improvement Division of the department doing excellent work. We are supposed to be improving the lot of our people by improving their livestock. So, Chairperson, whilst I welcome the idea of getting all the sector role players together, I want to predict it will take time before you'll find everybody available on the same day. I know how it has worked in the past. I cannot see the sense of commitment to make it work different. So I like the idea, Chair. We heard from Bishop now, it's the implementation. We've got beautiful policies, Chair. Nobody can beat us. But do we have the will to implement, Chair? I'm just warning, Chair. And you are aware, Chair. You are aware how people are still writing after they've been visited 18 months ago. Officials went with you. Officials made commitments, we shall come back here, we shall do ABCD. And those people tell you today, 18 months later, Baba, they vanished, we've never seen them again. So you see, Chair, you said earlier we are not the implementation agency. If you are not going to get the implementers, Chair, to change their psyche, to be committed to serving people, unfortunately, Chair, please, you are like a son to me. I'm pleading to you. We will be setting our people up for failure. I don't want to be part of that. I want people to be able to say that white-haired man came here and what he said has been done. I can't do that. That is why I refused to come to Pongola last year, Chair. Because those people are struggling for the last 3 years, Chair. And like them, I can show you dozens of others, Chair. People have given up asking us. And that will come back to haunt us, Chair. Remember one thing, Chair. An elderly seer told me, when the new moon is born, the clouds will cover it for a little while. But the clouds shall disappear, and that moon shall keep on shining. Whatever good is done, it'll shine in a good way. Whatever is bad is done, it'll also shine out that you did not do this. That's all I'm warning, Chair. Thank you.
Mama?
Chairperson, thank you. Sometimes you just keep quiet and listen when others are speaking, Chairperson. You were saying maybe to go and see these things, our job is to oversight. But now I'm afraid to go on oversight. Because when you go down there, you meet people. You meet people. They will tell you whatever they tell you, and you will see that really these people, they need help. And you won't even go to them, because whatever they told us, nothing has happened. You know, I am from a province, Limpopo. Maybe people, they can just maybe think, Limpopo, the way nowadays things are happening. You know, I used to have a very strong constituency office. When I visited that area, in all the constituency offices I've worked with, it is a question of a school, and the community invited me to a certain school or an event. When I'm there, they complain about they don't have school, this school is cracking. You know, then and then, I will go outside. This Dr. Aaron Zanis, he was once an MEC of education. I will just go out and phone him until he said to me, you know, phone my secretary, because sometimes I am in a meeting. Chairperson, tomorrow, you are phone today, tomorrow the officials are there to come in and look what is happening. I've worked with several of these MECs there. You have a community complaining, you know whom to touch. And you touch department, MEC. Tomorrow, they are there to come and see why people are crying, and they will tell the people that, you know what, maybe this year we will not be able to help you because our budget, we're going to do what. But next year budget, we promise you. You know, I can't even remember how many new things have happened where my constituency's office were. New schools, you know, new things. Because people, they listen to you. Department, they know that they are there to help people. And it's the department who should help people. But if we, you know, all along when I'm there in the province, I used to think, you know what, national, I think national is better. Mm-mm. Provinces are better. Because you will be able even to talk face to face with your comrade as an MEC. And if he or she tells you what you don't understand, you touch the premier. And here it's difficult. I don't know why it is so difficult to work with department. They are so difficult people. You know, it's like they don't feel anything anymore. And I don't know. Or not. I don't know. Chaperson, I don't know. Maren or Gary, I don't know.
Members, what I'm trying to thanks for that, ma'am. What I'm trying to do here for us, there's a page there that talks about farmer support and development. That page says, target X number of farmers on private land, and at least 10 rural livestock co-ops on communal land for support over a period of 3 to 5 years. It talks about, you know, mobilization of resource and audit. It talks about business plan. It talks about resource required. Talks about skills required, and it talks about training, mentorship, breeding access to markets. The point I'm trying to raise here in a nutshell is that what stops us from having, what's the word here? What's the word? A case study, pilot, that's the word I was looking for, a pilot What stops us from having a pilot and say, here you target province A and go all out there and mobilize all these resources and you move from one district to another with the hand of the department and hand of NERPO and ourselves going out there and looking at the situation and then come back perhaps a month later or so and be able to say, yes, it is happening. Yes, it's doable. Yes, it is achievable. And then you move to another. That's all what I'm saying. Well, I see a situation where rather than talking here and criticizing here, yes, we have that right. All of us. Department is not perfect. They're doing a little that they can. But here we want to see action on the ground, progress on the ground, achievements on the ground. Then we can move to another point, whether it is a district or whether it is a province. The people who are implementing, it is the department assisting you, because you are not implementing. You want assistance. You have these red meat producers here. Yesterday only I was having lunch with one old man, Andre Porter. He, together with another fellow north, they want to implement something in the Eastern Cape. They have an infrastructure for sheep, a feedlot. Big, you know, it's covered. And at any point given in time, 10,000 at a go, 20,000 sheep, whether for feed or for wool. For me, I'm literally reminded of that. You know, that's what is happening. And they are doing it. And he's working for a feed company called Mido. He's part of a Mido company. They're quite big. Right?
MDA, Mido.
Yes, Mido. Now, this is the kind of thing for me that, you know, work. Without us having to be engaged in any form of discussion. Yes, it is important. Yes, we have every right to criticize and so forth. We all have that right. But we equally have to say at some point, how do you go forward? Kicking and screaming, the department must be on board. We have no option. It isn't the issue here that we have to deal with is food security. Prices are rising about 7%, 6%. And very soon, Mr. Abram was saying, we shall find ourselves being net importers of food. The margin is so small between export and import. If we are not being proactive, that's a simple point I want to believe who the bishop is referring to and Dr. Simela is referring to. Any comments quickly? Let's allow Mr. Van Dalen.
Yes,
and then we shall...
Yes, Jefferson, thank you very much. Sorry for being late. I was at the other meeting and then I remembered I had to be here at 2 o'clock. But it was mixed up. I'm verskoning daarvoor. But I want to, and the Western Cape would like to accept your challenge to use the Western Cape as a pilot project to make it work better. We always like anybody to use the Western Cape as a pilot project. Thank you very much.
You want us to come and take over Western Cape?
We would appreciate you using the Western Cape as a pilot project, as you had intimated in the beginning that you wanted to do. We accept your challenge.
Okay, Mr. Abram. Okay.
Chairperson, short, sweet, and simple. I like your ideas. But, Chairperson, we are still not addressing the capacity of the implementers. All I'm asking is let the Secretariat take out all the resolutions that we've taken up to now. Everything that we had sent to the department that the department was supposed to do, and ask them to respond to all that, Chair. If you get that, Chair, then I'll say we can implement what you're saying.
At this juncture, members, what we have also done, my apologies that we have to do it this way. We had rallied or mobilized two other members of Parliament who were busy in their own other committee work to join us for purposes of quorum for the report to be adopted. I wonder whether we have looked at the report itself, especially in the recommendations. Mama?
I'm wondering, I've seen I'm just surprised when I arrived here, she's not here, but I've, and my and the Umatwa, she's not around?
There are no apologies, Mama. Okay, can we work with what we have now? And then we'll deal with those issues outside of the meeting. Okay? In the main, the committee secretariat, as they were busy working on this document, among other questions, it was a bit of a confusion that relates to whether or not our discussion has to be reflected on the document. We did agree that there is no need for our discussion. You'll just have to excuse us very for less than we just have to deal with this, and then we come back to the issues. What was clear is that we are not reflecting on the discussion itself, save for some of the topographical areas that we needed to look into. But keenly, and most importantly, is your recommendation that we seem to have been working on. Otherwise, the rest of the other sections of the document are straightforward presentations or submissions by the department. We did go through the document. Yes, Dave Fessery. Unless members have any other matter on the body of the document itself, before we go to the recommendations, Mr. Fandal?
Yes, I see. Okay, I thought we were on page 25 with the recommendations. Yeah. There should be a gap between the one in the third one from the bottom. It's two recommendations that are clustered together. That's just a little mistake. And then there was a recommendation that we made about getting rid of red tape for aquaculture. But that is nowhere to be seen in these recommendations. It was a separate recommendation that we recommend that we focus
the
attention.
The very last page, 26.
I don't have a 26. I only have a 25.
All 25.
Is there no last page? Like
no.
26?
No. The pages are numbered very erratically because there's a 19, and then it goes to 21, then it goes from 23 to 25. No, I didn't have it on my electronic copy either. No. But there's lots of pages missing. I thought the document was written.
How come my document is?
We look at the recommendation 25 and 26.
The rest of the document was fine, if I can help you, Chairperson, that we did. That was fine. It was only the recommendations that was on 26 that we are missing, I think. So what?
Recommendation one, that the committee therefore makes the following recommendation: that the Minister of Agriculture, Forest and Fisheries should provide the committee with a plan or a strategy on how the department plans to address vacancies in the department. That's one. Two, Minister should lobby the land reform cluster and also liaise with the Department of Mineral Resources to address the challenges of losing agricultural land to mining. Three, ministers should consider continued and significant budget allocation to OPP, which is a national key point that plays a very important role in the country's food safety and prevention, management of livestock diseases. Four, should consider a budget allocation to PPECB for transformation activities and capacity building for the of the emerging sector and for the organization to continue carrying out its mandate. Should consider funding the Veterinary Council to assist in its activities in encouraging young black students to enroll for veterinary and para-veterinary studies or qualifications. Ministers should ensure that agriculture as a subject is included in learning programs as early as basic education stage. Ministers should ring-fence infrastructure development funds while identifying a lead authority, example, lead the Department of Public Works for the implementation of infrastructure projects to avoid duplication and wasteful expenditure. The point raised by Mr. Van Dalen there where there should be space. Ministers should consider establishing a non-profit entity that will include relevant government departments, Sargon Maritime Safety Authority as lead agency, and the fishing industry to collectively manage the fleet of fishing vessels. Are we fine with that? Minister should consider establishing a monitoring and evaluation team within the department that will focus on monitoring and evaluating the set targets against delivery for the conditional grants that are transferred to provinces, including disaster management. Department must report on these to the committee on a quarterly basis. I think we also said something related to NCOP. Because the challenge that we have is that of having to be able to go directly to the provinces and the resistance that we have been establishing. You remember? Well, that is, I think we are agreed that that is more of our internal. I remember. Ministers should gradually dissolve NERCA Farm, take into account all the labor-related and legal implications. They should also should note that this entity for the past 4 years has failed to submit a professionally prepared Strat Plan APP annual report as required by PMFA and the National Treasury. Sofandera?
Yes, Chair, that gradually. Can't we take that gradually out there? I mean, it must be dissolved. Why gradually? I mean, it must follow a process. We all know that. But it gradually means like, over 10 years, it's also all right. So I think we should just say should dissolve, not gradually.
Are we fine with that?
Yes, Chair.
It's straightforward. The last page, 26, the minister should also provide pre-settlement support
for targeted land reform beneficiaries instead of focusing only on post-settlement to ensure that interventions are measurable in support of the NDP's land reform objectives. It's the very last page. Minister should ensure that it collaborates, the department should ensure that it collaborates with the Department of Trade and Industry on development of aquaculture programs. We'll bring you the copy. Do you have another copy? We don't have any other copy. I'll just read it, Mama. Okay. The other one, departments should consider improvements in the development and expansion of aquaculture by removing too much red tape as aquaculture can be beneficial in removing pressure off the dwindling natural resources.
Yes, Mr. Chairperson. Can we not say by removing too much, by removing red tape? I mean, what is too much? It's leaves it over to somebody else to judge on it. It's just red tape. It takes a long time and we need that removed.
Yeah, red tape is red tape. Yeah. Little or too much red tape. It's impinging the development.
Okay. Department should ensure that there is collaboration between ARC and NAMC, National Agriculture Marketing Council, on livestock development programs such as Kaunafa Tuyadu Homo and the National Red Meat Production Project and other agricultural development programs. NAMC is doing something else, ARC is doing something else. Last one, department should provide a report regarding the 10% shareholding in forest plantations by previously disadvantaged communities and plans regarding reforestation of areas that were transferred since 1999. Department should provide report regarding the 10% shareholding in the SAFCO privatization transaction. That's basically what happened. It's SAFCO privatization transaction. Instead of forestry plantation. Yes, there was that privatization program. That SAFCO privatization. It's under private enterprise. It's basically SAFCO privatization transaction. Okay. The concluding comment there. The committee was not satisfied with the department's APP for 2013, citing a number of issues that were previously raised by the committee, including issues that were also raised by the Auditor General in previous financial years that the department has not effectively addressed or responded to. However, the committee supports the budget allocation for 2013, noting the recommendation on Nakhafam, and further recommends that the budget be adopted. Mr. Geller?
I move for the adoption of the report.
Seconder? Mama?
I second the adoption of the
report. Violent objection?
Yes, I just didn't know that this committee would make a recommendation like we are going to do the budget vote as we are going to do it in Parliament anyway. I mean, so why do we put that in here now? I mean, I don't think it should come in here. It's going to be done in Parliament.
But we have here, as required in accordance with the legislation, that the committee has to adopt a report.
We can adopt the report, but then it talks about the budget vote and everything else, which this is not.
That's what the committee is doing. It is expected of any committee to express an opinion on the budget. That's what we are doing now.
Well, then I want to object to it. You can record my objection.
What are you objecting to?
I say that this that we are recommending that this committee as a whole is, because we are still going to decide on that in Parliament.
What?
on is this.
So you're confused as to what you are objecting to.
No, we can accept this report.
Yes, that's what
I'm asking. But it talks about adopting the budget vote, and I am not comfortable with that.
Because
we are still going to debate the budget vote in Parliament.
Mama?
Honorable Jabla, this is the report with regards to the strategic plan and the annual performance plan, which was co-stated, which is a direction that the department is going to take in this financial year. So what the minister will be presenting in the House will be related to this report, to the APP of the department. It will not be outside the APP. That is why the committee has to adopt this report. The budget vote will be in line with this report, with the APP that has been presented to the committee on the activities that the department is going to perform in this financial year with the budget of the department.
Is his other name Chabulani?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh. Learning.
Yes. Chairperson, this is not my understanding of the reading of this paragraph. If it had said that this portfolio of agriculture supports the budget allocation for the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries and this report, then I would have been happy with it. But it says, and further recommends that budget vote 26 be adopted. Now, I'm not comfortable there with that part. I mean, it's potato, potato, but I can't support that because I will not be supporting the budget in Parliament. So I can't be in a committee where everybody's going to say the collective decided to support it, because there are problems as well.
Equally,
so if I'm quite happy if you just register my objection. That's all.
Okay.
So you can't stand up in Parliament and say I voted for this.
Can't we then record that objection, and then we move? The committee has adopted this report, right? Thank you. Thanks, members, for having assisted us. You are allowed to stay if time permits on your side. Okay, thank you very much. That then takes care of this other one. We're just going back to way forward on red meat producer. And go see Mama. You want to make your last comments on the matters raised earlier? Okay. And again, I'm repeating. Rather than having to have a talk show, you know, having to engage in all sorts of discussion, whether or not the department is effective and so on and so forth, here are issues. They are very specific. They are very pointed. The farmers are requesting for help. Is there help that we can afford? I am saying, why don't we find ourselves getting to say, let's get to have your pilot and see it happening and working, so that we come back to it and be able to say, yes, we are getting somewhere. Bishop.
Chair, thank you very much. Well, I think as a custodian of this meeting, you got a solution, and you want us to dwell on solutions which we need. But honourable committee members here are fuming, and for reason. And I'm inclined to agree with them, and avoiding to plug a wallpaper on a cracked wall. We mustn't plug a wallpaper on a cracked wall. This wall is cracked. Now, yes, indeed, 101%, we agree with your solutions. We are going to come to your solution. Chair, my worry is, but who is in charge of the provincial departments of agriculture? Because the damage comes from there. Who is going to have control over
that?
You have brought a problem.
Oh, okay, let me pass.
You do not add a problem to a problem.
Okay.
We are seeking for solutions here.
Okay.
That's all what we're keen on.
Okay.
We are hearing your concerns. Yes, we have made our comments. Yes, we are not happy, some of us. What we are now trying to do is work towards a solution to your problem.
Okay, Chief. I'll come with a solution.
We have brought that solution.
Yes, one solution, Chair, which maybe may assist us, is for NERPO must have a preliminary meeting with the Department of Agriculture. Part of the solution.
So you have those solutions with you?
Yes. If
why didn't you come to us?
If we can
why did you come to us?
Okay, let me put that one aside again. Chair, should you maybe feel that we should have a pilot project? I'll also suggest, and I'll mention my motivation, that we do it either in Limpopo, Mpumalanga, and the Northwest. And my reason for that is that those
are the details, Data.
Okay.
We're talking principle here. I'm only making an example
by
saying this province.
Yes. But I recommend, and it's a fervent appeal to the Honorable Chair. And I thank you, Chair.
Members, I think in principle, from where I'm seated, I have not applied my mind greatly on this one. Thinking on top of my head here seated, having listened to all the issues raised and the discussion that has ensued as a result, I am saying it is not going to assist us simply having to lament over issues. You have brought a problem. You want a solution. That's what you are here for. As to how best can you move forward. Now, I am then proposing that despite all the issues raised and the concerns raised, how about if we target and come up with pilots and be able to say to ourselves, it is working, it has worked, it has achieved certain objects. Mama?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I totally agree with the proposal that we do a pilot, and I'd like to further propose that maybe we could work with staff and develop a proposal on how to implement it and where. But I think what we need is an oversight body, somebody that will make sure it happens, because invariably, as you can see already, the issues involved are more than just staff, are more than just agriculture. There's rural development, there's other sectors involved. So we need a much broader oversight that can pull in all the sectors that are involved together.
You want to comment on that, department? To an extent, I'm quite aware that you have some coordinated structure or coordinating structure that you are part of.
Honorable Chairperson, thank you. Firstly, let me indicate that our view is that NERPO, within our framework of multiple role players in extension, is filling part of the gap, and we recognize that, we appreciate that. And my view on this matter would be, yes, NERPO, with the target they have to establish 1,000 livestock farmers, perhaps in that sense of a pilot, it's another pilot that we should support in that sense. But there are a few other role players which we should continue to work with and within the framework that you're proposing. We completely take note of the concerns and the desire of the committee, and we would go along. But I'm just saying, the gap NERPO is filling within a certain number of the number of livestock farmers that they've identified. Indeed, we would work with them, coordinate with them to pilot what they are doing, and then, of course, over time, they could expand into other members. Thank you.
Any other further input from the department? Are we fine with that view, Mr. Fandala?
Yes, can I recommend that we, I don't know if we can instruct, but if we can recommend that a plan gets brought back to this portfolio committee, say in a month's time, where all these departments...
14th of June.
What happens then?
That's the month you are talking
about. Is it
about.
A Tuesday?
No, no, it's on a Friday morning.
Yeah, the Friday is fine. Morning.
14th of June.
Yes, would be all right. But that, have you already decided that?
I'm looking at the program.
Okay, that's good.
I'm saying we have
then,
something
then, okay, then I will endeavor to take us forward. Then this portfolio committee would recommend that that NERPO as a lead agency decides to get all these people together that they need to get together to come up with a plan and to present that plan to us. And then we will decide on a further action, or it must be in some way that it could be done and possible to be done. Something, I don't know. Maybe somebody else can word it better.
Okay, the we are here, last day we are here is the 20th, if I'm not mistaken. 20th of June. That's why I was saying 14th of June, which will literally give us 3 weeks. No. It's actually 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks. I'm sure it is doable.
Chairperson, I...
Mamanya.
Manya. Thank you. Chairperson, we will work on that concept with NERPO, and I would rather want to plead that we do not say we present to you a plan, because this plan has to be implemented in the provinces. There are no national villages, no national farms. All the farms are in the provinces. And if we move without the provinces, we run a risk of having a plan that will work as long as national is there. If national is not there, that plan will collapse. And I would want to plead that the members would allow us to work on a plan with NERPO, but take on whatever provinces would be selected.
Obviously, what happens when you are to implement, to an extent, it even gets to 8 district level, because these provinces, that's where collaboration must take place. But equally important are the districts themselves. I think let's close it on that note. And then agree as well that on the 14th, this is 2.5 weeks, we need to have, we're taking into account that there is a rural development presence to it, there is a higher education department in the form of AgriCita, there is a public enterprise in the form of your energy and also ESCOM as well. So you have a combination of all of those departments that work towards a few to deliver on a set program or set project or set object, as it were. I think that's the aim at the end, without having to create many structures. You're creating this structure solely to implement a program. That's the only object that is there. You're not creating a permanent structure here. It is solely to collaborate to achieve certain objects. If that is the case, I think we shall have done something. Going forward, we shall look back and say, we had planted a seed. Let's see that seed growing. Okay? That's our responsibility. That's our responsibility, all of us equally and individually, collectively and individually. Okay, members, I think that should then take us to the end of our discussion, if anything else. Welcome, Mrs. Nyalungu, as we conclude. Perhaps you are early for the next meeting.
No, they are certainly, they were, and I can predict, you know, that they were held up somewhere.
Okay. You see, Mr. Gaila, Mrs. Twala was with, in a meeting with the whip. Members, next week is a debate, and the debate, it is said that it has been postponed to an hour and a half later. In other words, we shall be debating from 3:30 in the afternoon. We do not have a meeting next week. Our next meeting is going to take place on the 4th of June. In other words, that day it is going to be a briefing by the department on progress regarding fishing right allocation. The meeting, if anything else, the bishop is going to do what he does best. Before we close, may we sit down, Mr. Van Dalen? Mr. Van Dalen, the bishop, prophet. Sorry, Mr. Abrams. No. The bishop must do what he does best before we all. Okay. Can speak through the mic, Bishop.
I'll be failing in my duty if I don't express my sincere thanks to the committee, the portfolio committee, honorable members, the department, and almost everybody who participated in this meeting. Nothing wrong has happened, and nothing wrong is happening, but, you know, there are words of wisdom from the old man, Mahatma Gandhi. Mahatma Gandhi said this about obstacles. He said, obstacles are those frightening things you see as you take your eyes off the goal. Now, if together we'll conquer, together we can do more, and let us not despair. You may have served 12 years in this portfolio committee, but you are just about to conquer. You are just about, don't abandon. You are there, and you are going to win, and I thank you very much. We've got a lot of wisdom in you, the chairperson. We are there. And we are behind you, by the way, with no dagger drawn behind your back. And I thank you.
I thought you'd also do what you do best as well. As a bishop. We have never had a prayer in this committee.
Oh. Oh, can we just bow our heads? Almighty God and Heavenly Father, who in thy infinite mercy and wisdom deemed it fit and necessary that we meet this afternoon. We've met for the welfare of society, and we thank the government for addressing us, giving us wisdom. Father, we beseech thee to bestow thy abundant favor upon all thou servants, whom thou hast been pleased to call to the performance of such important trust in this, our organization, NERPO, and our department and the portfolio committee. All this we ask in the name and for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.
Once again, members, on this day we shall look back and say we agree. Thank you very much, and the meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you.
something you can do. There's something you can do.
You mean like
the meeting? That the meeting was okay. That's all. But I want to meet.
I'm just using my hand.
No, it's fine. You have to, because I'm using my phone.
Yes.
My phone.
Your phone.
No, but one question, you should get there's a lift down here. Yeah. 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 I will not eating the meat.
No, I mean it. I need to.
Right.
I'll be seeing it.
Only when he's... because into ezaba yimistake ezinto bazirezileyo apha mhlawumbi nilibale nini uzikhupha apha kwiripoti iripoti ibe sengxakini ke ngoku andikwazi uyifumana iripoti ingeka include i-amendment or changes to the only afterreport ine-change
Embaso. Okay. I was there for about 6 months. I was there for 6 months. I'm a journalist by profession. Yeah, but then I suspended my journalism activities for into Ogrukaya Lakhu.
Thank you.
But he's not convening a study session. All right.
Close the voice. Sorry. I thought you were walking out. Watch me. Because we innings also on Sunday innings on can say very unfair.